What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some very odd happenings, maybe not the happenings themselves, but the interpretations of what the Penguins are doing, what their GM is saying, what people around them are writing and saying. I'm just flummoxed here because to me, yeah, I guess if you want to say the Penguins have pivoted, like Kyle Dubas put it last week, from their philosophy of many, many seasons, I guess they're now in the business of accumulating draft picks instead of relinquishing them. Okay. I don't see that as a dramatic shift in philosophy. They got a second round pick attached to Kevin Hayes, but they got Kevin Hayes. To me, that's the headline there. They just picked up a guy who's 32 years old and who's coming off just two seasons ago at 18 goals. And seems to be, somebody you're gonna need to produce, and who should be expected to produce. They're said to be in pursuit of Vladimir Tarasenko, who's 32 years old, and he's a top six winger. So we can talk all we want about pivots and philosophy and a soft rebuild and all this crap. The bottom line is they got a roster that's built to win now, and if the players who are being paid handsomely and who have some pedigree play to their pedigree and their paychecks, they should be pretty good. I feel like I'm living in Alice in Wonderland here.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, Paul and I, that Crosby and Malkin have played 82 games, every game the last two seasons, and they've missed the playoffs in both.
Right. Okay, so how about Raquel plays to his pedigree? How about Rust has a good year? How about Drew O'Connor advances? How about role players like Achari and Eller and Hayes and these guys? How about if they just play to what they're supposed to play to? How about if Letang and Carlson play to their salaries and their talent level? How about if the $27 million goalie plays like an all-star? It's not like he's never done that before. And you know what? If Kyle Dubas wants to scrap it and start a total rebuild, then we can start talking about that word, the R word. In the meantime, they're built to win now. See, here's the thing. If you don't subscribe to that philosophy that they're built to win now, then what you're setting yourselves up for is low expectation. I almost think that's what they want. That's what Kyle, don't hold us to high expectations. Why not? Why shouldn't we? Is Bumboli ready?
Well, he's doing that. Can I just say this?
Yeah.
What was our guy's name from Penn Trafford? John, right? With the vending machine guy?
Oh, yeah. John the vending machine guy.
He just cost me another 5 minutes of my life that I'll never get back because two of the damn three machines didn't work. And the one, you put your credit card up there and it spins and spins and spins and spins and spins for like 20 minutes.
Did you attack it again?
No, I didn't. I don't want to. Now that everybody knows that I have the propensity to shake them and kick them, I can't do it anymore.
I don't think you got the message.
Right. He didn't get the message. Clearly. They didn't.
John?
I am now I'm going to bring snacks in because I can't rely on these machines. We actually shoot back a little bit. Now we're the playground bully.
Exactly.
Get a life. Exactly.
The more advanced we get, the worse the product
is. The machine.
Yet another example of this. Jonathan's perfect for this. Jonathan, you ever been in a violent confrontation with an inanimate object such as a vending machine?
I mean, maybe, but I think I've heard a stat that there are like more Americans killed by vending machines than sharks in a given year. So just be careful. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to get too violent with them. All of a sudden, they tip over. You're trapped underneath one. That's no place you want to be.
Paul, you could be in danger.
I could, but these ones, they don't move. Or, you know, what I did down there? I even tried to, like, there's little antennas for the Wi-Fi.
Right.
So that the credit card machine can work. I even tried moving them around a little bit. Maybe try and put them in a different position a little bit up there.
My God, this is like 1950s television.
Right, exactly. And then
where you try to adjust the antenna? Did you put tinfoil up there?
That's what I was going to say. That's my next move, is to go down to Giant Eagle and get some aluminum foil and come back and put it on the thing. What are we talking about?
Jonathan, did you grow up with the type of TV where you had to walk up and change the channels, that type of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in Greensburg, so like your channels, how well they came in depended on like where the signal was from. So like we could get channel 4 really well. Channel 11 was okay. Channel 2 was downtown. That was like to Greensburg. That was tough. The station that came in really well was the religious station out of Wall.
We got exactly.
That still clear, man. We saw Mother Angelica. It was practically HD.
It was three channels plus two on the other little switch, like PBS and something else, right? We had five channels
UHF,
growing up.
Yeah,
UHS, right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to the Penguins. Jonathan Bomboli of the Trib is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. He's been around this team and a very astute hockey observer for a long time. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What is Kyle Dubas trying to do? Is it doable?
That's a good question. Is it doable? Maybe. Is what he's trying to do, is he able to do that? Sure. I think what you're sort of underselling in the discussion of whether this is a rebuild or not is, for a GM, right now he's in a position where he's trying to acquire prospects and draft picks. And for a GM, that's sort of the definition of whether you're rebuilding or winning now. Are you acquiring prospects and draft picks, or are you sending out prospects and draft picks? And he's not in the position of sending out prospects and draft picks. So to him, that feels like, he's not going to use the word rebuild, but that feels different. The being in the business of adding draft picks is different. But as far as how that impacts the product on the ice, I mean, the Gensel trade was a rebuilding type of trade, right? I mean, you moved an all-star for a couple of prospects who are like almost NHL ready. That's like a rebuild on the fly kind of move, you know, because a regular rebuild move would be you move Jake Gensel for first round picks and 18-year-old kids. But that's not what the Penguins did. They moved them for Ponomarev and Koivunen, who are like NHL ready guys. So that was sort of like
and Jonathan, I would add, they moved him for a player who makes almost $5 million and is a pretty good hockey player. So it was partially a hockey trade.
Yeah, and if you sort of look ahead and realize you were trying to get rid of Riley Smith, getting Michael Bunting was absolutely critical. Because if you didn't have him, the left side, you know, your left wing depth chart would be super thin. So having Bunting, yeah, but also having Bunting is the kind of thing that's rebuild on the fly, not like tear it down rebuild. So that move fits perfectly with the kind of stuff that Dubas is talking about. But then the stuff that's happened more recently, it is, I don't have as, it doesn't make as much sense to me. Like the idea of, I mean, you know, you bring in Hayes, he replaces Jeff Carter, plays like a similar role, and he's 6 or 7 years younger and probably a little more productive. I guess that's fine in and of itself. But the fact that you got a second round pick for taking him on, you get a second round pick for Riley Smith, but the second round pick is in 2027. So, I mean, you know, that player is going to play in the NHL in 2031 or 2032. I mean, everybody's retired by then. So that's the part, you know, the rebuild on the fly means you get assets that are close to helping your NHL team. And that's not what the Riley Smith deal did. I guess it's sort of what the Hayes deal did, because he can come in and play a regular shift for you. But here's the thing. To me, the most pressing thing to me is if you want to rebuild on the fly, you got to play some of the kids. But if you look at the lineup of this team, what kids are going to play a significant role? What players under 25 are going to play a significant role for this team? I don't know. You know, Jack St. Ivan, he's your third pair right defenseman. Anybody else? You got anybody else for me? Pustinen, I guess, is like a third line wing. So that's the youth movement, is Poston and Insane Ivany? That
doesn't maybe O'Connor. O'Connor's good. Yeah.
Right. So, hey, if the lack of depth on the left wing is solved by playing, you know, Koivunen in the top six, then hell, man, that's a rebuild. Let's go. But as it stands, that's the part that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, if you're doing a soft rebuild, you got to play some of the kids. You can't be playing, you know, the guys that you signed, the Beauvilliers of the world. I like him. He was good with the Islanders, but I mean, like, that's not a rebuild. That's a try a different cast of characters around Crosby and Malkin, which is what they've done for the last 15 years. And I'm okay with that, but it's not different.
Well, I think one of the things that, and I wrote about this the other day, one of the things that's frustrating is, had they a few years ago just committed to let's really rebuild, and I understand why they didn't. And I've heard all the, you know, discussions about Crosby wants to be with Malkin and Letang and all that other stuff, but I feel like we would be through to the other side of it now, to the point where we'd have Crosby, a team built around Crosby with a lot of younger players. And maybe even the young kid, the goalie, getting ready to legitimately start playing in his first full season, where he played last year some. To me, it feels like they've wasted 2 or 3 years of this rebuild, and now the way they're going to try and do it, it could drag out for another 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think that's a real fundamental question. We're seeing it with Tampa Bay right now and Steve Stamkos. And the question is, how much sort of loyalty and sentimentality do you think should be involved in this team building process? And a lot of people say none. They say you got to be ruthless. So, you know, in 2018, you should have got rid of Letang and Malkin, started your rebuild. And like you said, you'd be on the other side of it right now. You'd be well on the other side of it right now. That's like 5-6 years ago now. So there are people who think that. Be ruthless. You know, thanks for your contributions, Evgeny, take a hike. I personally don't feel that way, because I think this is an entertainment business, and I think that you want to keep those guys around. Like, I think what Tampa did to Stamkos, they did him dirty. I mean, that's a guy who played 1,000 games in their uniform, brought them 2 Stanley Cups, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to lowball offer you and sign Jake Guentzel instead, and good luck, here's a gold watch. And I don't go for that, man. I think that there's absolutely room for that sentimentality. This Penguins team right now, led by Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, if fans have the mindset to do this, they could rally around their 3 generational players who brought them 3 Stanley Cups, who are now underdogs. I mean, they are, because they're older, and that, you know, no one's going to pick them to even make the playoffs, let alone make a run in the playoffs. The people could rally around their 3 generational players who've been around forever, and it could be like, that would be like a heartwarming sports story. People will not do that. They'll take shots at Malkin every chance they get. They'll yell about the coach being fired. But it could, I mean, if you looked at it a certain way, you could say that these 3 guys that are our guys and have been for almost 2 decades, they now are the plucky underdogs. Let's get behind them. I mean, that would be fun. But instead, we're not going to have fun in the winter. We're going to have complaining about every little thing. And I guess that's just sort of the nature of being a fan. But I could write a script. I could write a script that would be a real heartwarming tale. That's all I'm saying.
John, but wouldn't you rather win or be in the conversation the way – see, here, I get what you're saying. And maybe 18 or 19 would have been too soon to pull the plug on that thing. But 21 – you know, I mean, started thinking about it, like even 22, now you'd be 2 years removed from it or whatever. I don't know. I think I definitely, you know, feel what you're saying. And, you know, you look across the river to the Pirates, and they have the Andrew McCutchen thing going on. And there's a lot of reasons why he's there that have nothing to do with baseball. I get that. But I also think at some point, man, Don't you want to move forward and try and get back to winning cups again?
Well, I think it depends on, like, I'll use that Tampa Bay example. If they could have got rid of Stamkos and automatically became a top 4 team to win, you know, in the odds to win the Stanley Cup, then you could sell me on ruthless roster composition and lack of sentimentality, if it means we're going to have a chance to really win the whole thing right now. But all they did, I don't think they made their chances any better. I mean, they got rid of Sergachev, replaced him with McDonough. They got rid of Stamkos, replaced him with Gensel. You didn't get any better. They're not beating Florida. They're not beating Boston. They're not coming out of the East. So you crapped on your captain of 10 years and you didn't get any better. That's like a total nightmare scenario. So in bringing that back to the Penguins, if you could have got rid of Malkin and Letang and immediately made yourself a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, fine. I can buy your ruthlessness in that scenario. But I don't think that's what would have happened. I think you would have made yourself incrementally better. You know what I mean? Like the team that has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup next year, say it's Florida or Edmonton or whoever, they have like a 12% chance if you sort of break down the Vegas odds. Like that's the way it is. It's like you have like at best, you have a 15% chance of winning the cup. And if you trade away your beloved pillars of the franchise to go from having a 12% chance of winning the cup to a 13% chance of winning the cup, it's just not worth it. I'll roll the dice with my guys. I'd rather have Malkin out there than making the mistakes that Malkin's going to make at age 35 than some kid who gives me a 0.5% better chance of winning at the end of the season.
Well, what if that somebody was Trocheck?
Yeah, that doesn't move the needle. I mean, if you replace Malkin with Trocheck, are the Penguins cup contenders?
I mean, how many cup all right, probably not, but it would have been a large step in the right direction. Here's a hot take for you. We're talking to Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib. Call now to win two tickets to see the Pirates game July 19th, 6:40. Join us for Yinzerpalooza weekend at PNC Park. Celebrate all the great things we love about Pittsburgh. Kick off Yinzerpalooza weekend with a post-game Zembelli fireworks show. Caller number 3 to our friend IT, 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Penguins should have comfortably and would have comfortably been a playoff team last year if their power play wasn't tragic, if it was just bad. I looked it up today. That power play, if Mike Sullivan had resigned in disgrace over that power play, he would have been justified in doing so. The 83-84 Penguins, who lost on purpose to get the first pick, who had 38 points, had a power play that was 5 percentage points higher than the crap they put out last year with three of the greatest players of all time on the ice, two of them who can still play, plus Brian Rust, plus Gensel for several months. It was just a joke. I think the Penguins have a chance to be pretty good this season, and it doesn't take a Herb Brooks-like miracle on ice for that to happen. It takes guys that are making tons of money and who have recent pedigree of being very good hockey players to simply live up to expectations. What do you think of that hot take?
And not just live up to expectations, just live up to expectations on the power play. Like they're already fine 5-on-5. Like listen to this. I'm not doing stats on the radio, but I think this is basic enough that it could come across. Goals for last season, the Penguins finished 19th in the league in goals for. But if you just take 5-on-5, they finished 6th in the league in goals for 5-on-5. So think about how much that power play dragged down their production. It was 6th best at 5-on-5, and it was 19th best in all situations when you add in the power play.
It was one of the worst units in the history of the league. Not just the Penguins, the history of the league. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so when you're saying to yourself, because, you know, this is a, I think there's a question that's it's like the question for the offseason about the Penguins is, you know, they missed the playoffs by small margins the last 2 years. Can you reasonably expect them to get better next year and get into the playoffs? And the key is right there, is the power play. And if you, it just has to be decent. It doesn't even have to be great. And you're right, though. The blame, you know, I said before about how, you know, I was sort of lamenting how we're going to, you know, spend the winter being angry. The one thing that we weren't angry enough about was this power play. Because when you're looking at these are, yeah, all-time great players. It's the coach's responsibility to get, you know, to put these all-time great players in positions to succeed. Everybody failed. Everybody, top to bottom. So you got a new coach running it. I mean, you know, David Quinn is not known as a power play guy. I mean, he's not, you know, EJ from back in the day or Joey Mullen. Joey Mullen was always known as a power play guy. David Quinn's not that. But he does have, you know, experience with Carlson. And look, I'm just going to say it. The easiest way for this team to be to show market improvement and be in contention, I used to think it was goaltending because I think that's just how the NHL works. But the goaltending was perfectly fine last year on balance. I mean, there's nothing to write home about, but they had the 13th best save percentage in the league. You can win with that. The answer is fix your power play. If you fix your power play, all of a sudden your soft rebuild, you look real smart because you're going to score some goals and win some games. You know, after they got Bunting, the power play did get a little bit
better.
If you want to try to have some optimism. Last 10 games of the year, it hit at 18%. Not that 18% is something to throw a parade about, but it's more respectable.
Well, the big thing there is, you know, the same guys are going to be on the power play who apparently, not apparently, I think it's very clear, who want to play their own way in their own positions and really aren't very coachable in that regard, regardless of how we feel about them, how, you know, I mean, you know, they're great ambassadors for the Penguins, and they're all-time greats, and they did deliver Stanley Cups. The reality is they haven't been very coachable at times. And so that is my concern is, you know, I think that they could be better. I think they should be better. But will they be better? That's the question that you have to ask. Are they going to be willing to maybe listen to some different ideas about how they could be better, or are they going to be stubborn sort of the way they are? And if they are, there's not a whole lot Mike Sullivan can do about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about, you know, you sort of accept the pluses and minuses of guys, you know, you just, you know, that's you, if you want the, you know, if you want the game-winning goals in the third period, sometimes you got to live with the minuses, right? The minuses with these guys, with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, is they are intractable on the power play. They're tough to coach on the power play. And I mean, we saw, you know, Carlson trying that that pass to the side of the net for the deflection for Crosby last year, just over and over and over and over again. When it worked occasionally, it was great, but it didn't work very often. And it's like, you got to try something different, man. If last year's performance doesn't sort of motivate everybody involved to try different things, then nothing ever will. Because that performance last year, I mean, any person would look at that and be like, we got to do something different. So, and then they didn't over 6 months. So, you know, the easiest path to getting better is make your power play better, but it's not an easy path because those guys, you know, have to buy into it. They have to have it. You have to present them with a plan that they like, and then they have to buy into it.
I guess in the end, I'm just not giving this GM, this coach, and these players the benefit of low expectations, you know, in the frame of a, quote, soft rebuild this season. They don't deserve it. They're making too much money. They have too much pedigree. There's a lot of teams that would like to start a season with Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, and Marcus Pettersson as their top three defensemen, a goalie who's made two All-Star games in the last 4 years, and Sidney Crosby up front to go with guys who are making lots of money. Brian Rust was good. He lived up to his money. Raquel was hurt. He's a good hockey player. He's a $5 million player. Play like it. You know, they got a bunch of role players who should be good. Lars Eller was good. Kevin Hayes just had 18 goals a couple years ago. Bevilliers had four seasons of 18 goals. He's only 27. I'm not going to buy into this crap. I'm not going in saying, you know, they probably won't be pretty good, nor should they be. They're softly rebuilding. Get the hell out of here with that. They're making all kinds of money, and they've had recent success. Everybody on their roster has had a season or many recently where they've been good.
But the reason they deserve the low expectations is because they're old. And that's really the only reason. I mean, you look at who wins in the NHL. It's not 35-year-olds. So they are underdogs in that sense. Don't you think, Joe?
Their goalie's not old.
That's true.
Pettersson's not old. Carlson and Letang are at an age when defensemen should still be very good. But yes, I do hear that. And Crosby's still a top 10 player in the world. Raquel's not old. Rust isn't old. Drew O'Connor could be a good player. And what about the $27 million bust that Kyle Dubas signed? What the hell is going on with that guy? He was plus 40 in Colorado. He was plus 34 in New Jersey. He comes here and he's Sven Butenschon. What is the deal with Ryan Graves, and whose fault is it?
Well, I mean, that's nobody forced Dubas to sign him. So, I mean, that Dubas has to wear that one. But if you look at their depth chart on defense, they got to get him straightened out. It's not like they have other choices. I mean, P.O. Joseph was the stopgap last year, who played because Graves couldn't figure it out. Well, P.O. Joseph's gone. And Matt Grilcic isn't, you know, he's not top four guy. I mean, he's a guy I like on my bottom pair, but they didn't replace P.O. Joseph in the top four. It's Graves' job. He's got to get it. They're counting on him to be able to play like a top four defenseman.
We have
that
to go.
That is a huge strike against Dubas, that signing.
Yeah. I mean, is he that bad? I mean, is Ryan Graves just a horrible hockey? To me, it's like being in a band. I was in the band. I played the trombone, and I couldn't play. And then we went and played in like these contests, and it was obvious that there was a guy there who's faking playing the trombone. How does Ryan – did he faked it through Colorado and Jersey? He put up those numbers even though he stinks? How is that possible?
I mean, it's like styles make fights. Guys play in different systems, and sometimes they work for your system, and sometimes they don't. But it shouldn't be that drastic.
I mean, it shouldn't
be. You should have, you know, guys that are slightly better in one system than another, but they shouldn't be unplayable in the Penguins.
No. What is he turned into? Hans? He turned into Hans Janssen overnight?
If you think about it, though, the signing of Jari and Graves could be the beginning of the end for Kyle Dubas.
Could be.
And those are two. That's two not huge, but big contracts.
Yes.
That you sign for guys that had at least at year one of the experiment, it's not gone well for either of them.
Yeah. Teams that are rebuilding don't have Ryan Graves and Tristan Jari signed to $54 million in contracts. How about those guys play well? How about that? As an answer, I have to go, Jonathan.
Okay.
We'll see you, man.
We love you, and we'll have you on again. Say goodbye to City Limits and especially IT when you leave.
Okay. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jonathan. Bye.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jonathan.
So what do we think here about Henry Davis? What are we looking at here? A guy you would trade? A guy that's leaning toward bust? Or is that grossly unfair because he's only had 310 major league at-bats? I see where Destiny's Child wrote today that Davis, thankfully, is asymptomatic after apparently having more symptoms from that concussion he got. He didn't have a second one, but he was having problems, and now Todd Tomczyk, their medical guy, director of sports medicine, said he's asymptomatic. Where are we at with Henry Davis, Paul? Where are you at?
I'm in the extreme minority. I trade him.
Yeah?
I trade him. I think his value is still reasonably high because he's a young guy with a pedigree. And he's you know, former first overall pick. I at least explore the idea of trading him. And because you got Andy Rodriguez, and I know that there's the idea that, you know, well, Andy Rodriguez, you know, coming off a major injury, you never know what's going to happen. I just feel like...
Well, I am worried about that because it was Tommy John, and it seemed like his strength last year was throwing people out.
Yeah, I get it. Let me ask you this, though. Is Henry Davis, is there anything that you've seen from Henry Davis that makes you believe that there's not always going to be one issue after another with this guy?
Yeah, I saw the two home runs off Ohtani last year, and I see a guy who, and I know there's a huge gap bigger than ever between AAA and the majors, but I see a guy who in AAA has absolutely hammered the ball. Like, he's got 1,094 OPS in his AAA career, which I think is only 129 at-bats. So, yeah, some glimpses, but believe me, I'm worried about him. I've also seen a guy who looks overmatched at the plate at the major league level, who looks like he's trying to live up to every expectation that would surround a number one pick with every swing he takes.
Right.
But still, the numbers are undeniable in AAA. Like, anybody else would look at this and say, well, that guy's a great prospect. And he only has 300 at-bats. Having said that, Paul, I would be on board for trading him in the right trade. I think you're right about that. You may want to trade him before he it becomes clear that he is a bust. You know what I mean?
Well, that's all I'm just saying. Like, I look at it.
I just think he could still be a really good player.
I do, too. But and I was looking this up just because it was one of those things where, you know, he's missed a lot of time with injuries. Even in the minors, he's been on and off the injured list, and that has hurt his production. But my thing is, you know, you look into the infield on the very same team, and you've got a guy in Ke'Bryan Hayes who also had, you know, a number of injuries that held him back and hampered him and seemed to be, and guess what? It seems like he's going to be a guy who the Pirates are going to have to worry about his back for the rest of the contract.
Yeah.
My thing is, I understand why people don't necessarily want to give up on him. By the same token, I think that you really basically have to look realistically at his last 4 or 5 years and it suggests to me that there's always going to be some issue that holds him back. You know, like, I don't know that he'll ever be a guy that can catch 130 games or 125 games.
Yeah, that part for
sure. You know
what
I mean?
But I draft a guy number one overall for his bat, and he's only 24, by the way.
Right, he's young.
And if you were to tell me, hey, here's a guy who's 24 years old, I didn't know who it was, and here's his AAA numbers from his career. He's only played 100. He's only had 129 AAA at-bats. But he's got over 1,000 OPS at AAA, 500 almost slugging percent. He crushes the ball at AAA. No, it's over 600 slugging percentage. I would say, well, I'm sure that guy's one of their top prospects, and they expect big things of him. It's just been that this tiny, tiny sample size still in the major leagues, it's been a disaster. It has. I'm not sure about Henry Davis, but I'm not willing to give up on him unless it's for the right deal. Limits, where do you stand on Davis?
See, I still like Davis, and I still think that there's pop in that bat, and maybe I buy into the fact that he was the first guy to ever hit two home runs off of Shohei Ohtani in the same game. The potential is there. I'm at the point, though, where I'm okay moving him off of catcher and try to find an actual position for him to play, because it seems like that's just too daunting of a responsibility for him to both catch and be able to hit at the major league level. So whether it's first base, right field, that's probably has to be the move as
DH?
Well, to help his hitting.
I mean, guys make
DH.
Career. That very few people rocket through the Pirates system the way that this dude did. Look at Tamar Johnson, who, by the way, just dropped out of MLB's top 100 prospects. Did you see that?
Yeah, and Baseball America. He's on MLB Pipelines, but Baseball America only has Bubba Chandler and Braxton Ashcraft.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think? Because
he's been struggling.
See, this is my problem with all these prospect lists. You're ranking guys based on what their potential is, right?
Potential mixed with production, I would say.
I guess so. But to me, this guy was ranked so high early on
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he has a bad stretch of games and he drops out of the top 100.
Tarmar Johnson and Anthony Solometo.
Top 100 across baseball.
I get that. Yeah. That's my point.
And the Pirates only have two in the top 100.
According to Baseball America, yeah. MLB Pipeline, all four are in the top 100.
I mean.
Led by Chandler.
Who are the four?
Chandler, Anthony Solometo, Tarmar Johnson, Braxton Ashcraft.
So my point is, he's the Pirates' second prospect, according to most lists. And he's not in the top 100?
It's a little troublesome. But
it is troublesome. And what's funny is we were talking about this, you know, because he made the future All-Star game, didn't he? He was one of the two guys named to the Futures All-Star game.
Yeah, him and Chandler.
So here's the thing. If he's one of the two guys named to the Futures All-Star game, and he's dropped out of the top 100, I think the discussion, absolutely the discussion has to be, he's not untouchable.
One correction, Ashcraft's not on the MLB pipeline. It's just the three, Solometo, Johnson, Chandler.
Thank you, City Limit.
Do you know what I mean? He's not untouchable in my mind anymore.
Absolutely not. How do they have no hitters in the top 100 prospects in baseball after 5 years of tanking?
They drafted pitchers high. And, I mean, Davis has graduated. Nick Gonzalez has graduated.
Okay, who?
Nick Gonzalez.
And who else?
Davis. Graduated from the prospect list in the last year.
Shouldn't they have more?
Should. You should be able to find somebody in the second, third round.
Yeah, especially because you're drafting high in every round, plus you're signing international prospects every year, and they like to tout how much money they spend there, right?
This Charles McAdoo.
They have their own academy, do they not?
For international.
Latin America?
And they've signed a lot of highly talented international guys, according to international scouts, and those guys are in the back end of this list. Nobody knocking down the door of even being in high A.
Right. Plus, they've traded for all kinds of prospects. So where is anybody who's a hitter on their top prospect list other than Tarmar Johnson, who's dropping?
The next closest is Mitch Jeb, the shortstop second baseman who's in Greensboro. Hit .297 last year in Bradenton. He's hitting .220 this year. Does not have a lot of power. Basically, is just a hit-to-all-fields guy. He was a second-round draft pick last year out of college.
This is a disaster, Paul.
Yeah.
We have to go.
Well, again... Your point is the best point that we've made on this show in a long time. I didn't realize that. They've been the rankings. They've been stockpiling guys for 5 years and don't have a single hitter in the top 100.
It's amazing. I mean, it truly
is
amazing.
You know how hard that is to do?
And they're in desperate need of bats right now. And we're making the Josh Palacios caper into, like, you know, they're waiting for Willie Mays here. That's what we're waiting for? Is Josh Palacios?
Leover Peguero.
And Leover Peguero. Two guys who profile as career utility men.
I mean,
I think Peguero could still be a starter. Better than Triolo. I thought he was going to win the second base job instead of Triolo, and we've seen what Jared Triolo became when he had regular at-bats.
And yet he stays here all year. And yet Olivares just stays here, just continues to be in the middle of their lineup somewhere. His last extra base hit, you were still in high school. I have no idea what is happening here. What has Ben Cherington done? What has he done?
I mean, it's amazing. In my mind, it's...
It's fireable if it doesn't
get
things
say,
don't improve a lot.
It's not good. For sure, it's not good.
All right, we have a quiz show coming up. Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and the fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Yes, we have all kinds of treats coming up, starting with the quiz show. I believe it's tied 1-1. City Limits and IT have put all kinds of work into this. our baseball coverage today on The Fan, presented
by the quiz show is 2-0.
Me, you?
Me.
It is 2-0, Paul. Yeah, it's not 1-1. It's 2-0.
What?
I won the first one, and I destroyed you in the second one.
He destroyed you in the second one.
Oh, I remember
one.
He had a great game, didn't he?
I need
a comeback win today.
He pitched a perfect game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.